Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to a special edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'm joined by my buddy Cole Sheldon here to break down UFC Tampa and Bellator and PFL. There's a lot to talk about today, so we've got a good show coming up for you guys. First off, Cole, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good, Cole. I'm good. And I know you broke some news, but we'll get to that a little bit later. I want to do UFC Tampa first, but you definitely broke some big news yesterday, so I got to give you props on that. But I do want to get to UFC Tampa, so let's dive right into this card. Just while I set up the card, just give me your initial thoughts on the bouts that the fans have in store for them this weekend.
Yeah, this is actually a really good card. Probably one of the better fight nights they've done, especially because it's not a big ESPN. It's just an ESPN Plus one. It's a really good main event. Just really good card all around. I think it does have a weird bout order, which we've seen a lot this year. I don't think some fights should be as high up as they are, and some fights are very low that I don't think they should be. But I mean, like, before that Gifford Weaver fight, that was the third fight from the top before it got pulled, which was didn't really make sense to me. But I mean, it's a really solid fight top to bottom.
Yeah, I should mention that fight between Brock Weaver and Thomas Gifford was canceled. Don't know what's going on there, Cole. Brock Weaver's kind of saying that the UFC pulled him and he can't say why. So you'd have to assume it's a USADA issue, because he said it's not weight cut related. So you'd have to assume it's USADA related, but really don't know, so I can't really speculate. But we've seen that happen. Not saying he, you know, tested positive by any means, but he could have been flagged for something that, you know, could easily get taken care of very soon. So unfortunately, that fight was canceled. But I'm with you, man. Why was Thomas Gifford on the main card? That guy, I don't even think he's won a fight in the UFC yet. So very, very strange. But we do have a bunch of good fights now. I really like this fight to start off the card, and I'm super confused why this is so far.
Just before you, with Gifford, I was talking to him yesterday. He said he's staying on the card. So.
Really? Okay, well, there you go. Hopefully they can find someone. Don't know who's going to fight, but and also I should note that the bout order looks a little different on Tapology than it does on, like, Wikipedia and stuff. So I'm going to go with Tapology's order. So actually the fight that I was talking about is a little bit later on, but still should be on the main card. Anyways, let's just start with a women's fight here between women's flyweights JJ Aldridge and Laura Mueller. Opening odds, Aldridge -230, Mueller +170. Right now the odds have dropped a little bit. Aldridge -170, Mueller +150. Who's your pick in this one?
I really like JJ Aldridge in this one. I know she lost her last fight, but she looked really good against Macy Barber in that first round. She gave Barber a lot. She easily won that first round, then she kind of gassed out and got a TKO in the second. Laura Mueller's on that two-fight losing streak. I think her job's on the line here. She lost to Botello and Wu, and she got stopped in one of them. Her only win in the UFC is against Shayna Dobson, which isn't that good of a win as we know now, but I like Aldridge here. I think she has the power where she might be able to TKO Mueller, but I think she'll edge out a decision.
I do favor Aldridge quite a bit here, actually, as well. Surprised that Aldridge dropped so much. I mean, she has, I think, a lot of advantages. I think she has the wrestling advantage. And also, she has the experience advantage. She's just fought better fighters, been in there, better fighters. Laura Mueller, I don't know, Cole. I just haven't been too impressed with her, man. Hasn't looked good in the UFC. 1-2, beat Shayna Dobson, then lost to Wu and Botello. The Wu fights were the big favorite, got submitted. Wasn't a good performance, and the Botello fight really wasn't good as well. Definitely a marketable fighter, I think we could say that, but you know, you got to win too. You can't just be marketable, you got to win as well. So I do favor Aldridge. I think she wins this fight, probably decision. That'd be my guess. So the fight plays out, and prop Aldridge decision -105, so not too much value there. If anything, I just take her, but you know, it's a women's flyweight bout, so it could be close. You never know with the judges. I do favor Aldridge though. I do think she edges out a decision. Next up, we got a middleweight fight. This was actually supposed to happen at UFC Vancouver, but was scratched at the last minute. It was moved to this card. So Marvin Vettori is taking on Andrew Sanchez. Marvin Vettori open -270, Sanchez +190 right now. Vettori -300, Sanchez +250. Who's your pick?
I like Marvin Vettori in this fight, but all the value is on Andrew Sanchez. There's no point in betting Marvin Vettori at this price. I think he will win. I think he has a good shot to knock out Andrew Sanchez. We've seen Sanchez get knocked out before. But Sanchez has that wrestling. Like, he could easily just blanket wrestle Vettori and edge out a very boring decision win. I think that is a very realistic possibility. That's why I think there is value on Sanchez. But I just think Vettori is a better striker. He has a split decision loss over Israel Adesanya, which looks really good now. Coming off a really impressive win over Cesar Ferreira on short notice. And that wasn't short notice. He was supposed to take this fight on short notice. But Vettori looks really good. I think Vettori gets done. I wouldn't be surprised if he TKOs him.
I like Vettori quite a bit in this fight. I agree with the line that it's pretty high. He has a lot of advantages here. First off, you know, super young, 26. So he's still getting better. I was super impressed with the Ferreira fight, Cole. That was after a year and a half layoff, and he came back and dominated Ferreira, who I think is a pretty good fighter. So that was a great performance. He also has that draw with Akhmedov. That guy's in the ranked in the top 15 as well. And of course, like you mentioned, Cole, the fight with Adesanya was super close. I mean, I did have Adesanya winning that fight. I think I had him 29-28, but it was a pretty close fight. And, you know, that shows that he can be competitive with really good fighters. So I do favor him quite a bit. I mean, Andrew Sanchez is solid. Don't get me wrong. Trains at a good camp, trains at TriStar. It's on a two-fight win streak. He has some good wins. But, you know, there's some issues with the guy, like his cardio. The fights with Ryan James Smith, he got knocked out in the third round. That scares the hell out of me. I don't like guys that get knocked out late in the fight. So that definitely worried me a bit. As well, you know, he, I don't know. He's kind of just a grinder. And I feel like Vettori can match him there. And otherwise, I don't think Sanchez does a whole lot well. I mean, he's not really a knockout guy. He doesn't have submissions either. So to me, this is Vettori's fight to lose. I know you're saying the line's a little high, but I think Vettori wins easily, man. I think either he wins a dominant decision or he possibly finishes Andrew Sanchez. So I got to go with Vettori as well. I don't overthink this one, Cole. I think he's going to win in dominant fashion. Next up, kind of a weird fight here between Hector Aldana and Miguel Baeza. Welterweight bout. Baeza minus 230, Aldana plus 170. Those are the openers right now. Baeza minus 190, Aldana plus 165. I'm just very confused why there's action going towards Aldana's way. This guy is not, doesn't look good in the UFC. I'll let you break it down, then I'll give my thoughts. Go ahead, Cole.
I just think Baeza looked good on the contender series, and I think this is the UFC's way to make sure he gets a win in the UFC. I don't think Aldana's that good. He's two-fight losing streak. He got knocked out Ken Song and then lost the bad fight to Steripoli where he didn't look that impressive at all. Baeza's undefeated. He's looked really good. Has a couple of notable wins, like on the contender series when he beat Victor Reyna. That was a good win. I think Baeza dominates his fight. I think he knocks out Aldana. We've seen Aldana get knocked out before. Baeza has the power. I just think this is a setup fight for Baeza to get a win in the UFC.
Yeah, just kind of a weird matchup. Baeza looked really good in the contender series. That fight with Victor Reyna was an awesome fight. I'm pretty sure Reyna missed weight. He still beat him. Excellent performance by him in that fight. Undefeated in his career. Got some good experience fighting in Titan and Fight Time, which are pretty good promotions down there in Florida. Aldana, 4-2 record and 0-2 in the UFC. And if you count his fight on top, he's actually 0-3 in his last three fights. Don't know why this guy's still in the UFC. I mean, to be fair, the fight with Steripoli, one fight of the night, and it was a good fight. So I guess they're just throwing him a bone here and giving him one more chance. But he's going to lose his fight, Cole. I actually think there's good value here on Baeza, minus 190. Really surprised the line dropped. Don't know why people have faith in Hector Aldana here. I don't think he wins. I like Baeza quite a bit. Either he wins by decision or he wins by knockout. Next up, this is the fight I was talking about earlier. I think when I was talking to you last week, Cole, you were like, why is this fight opening the card? And then now it's still on the prelims, but this fight should be in the main card. Why is it on the prelims? Marlon Vera against Andre Ewell. Why is Marlon Vera on the prelims? This guy's so good. Okay, so Marlon Vera opened minus 195. Ewell opened plus 155. Right now the line's dropped. Vera minus 170, Ewell plus 150. Give me your thoughts on this fight, man.
I really like Marlon Vera in this fight, and I really like the value you're getting on him, seeing him drop in price. I think Vera wins this fight. I think it's going to be a really close fight. I think this easily could be fight of the night, or one of them are going to get performance of the night. This will be a really good fight. Obviously, Vera's coming off that really good win, the rear naked choke over Nolan Hernandez. Before that, the knockout win over Frankie Sains. Andre Ewell got back in the win column, beat by Anderson Dos Santos. Before that, he got submitted by Nathaniel Wood. And that Nathaniel Wood fight is kind of how I see this Vera fight going. I think Vera can touch up Ewell on the feet. I think he can get this fight down to the ground. I think he can submit Ewell. I think that is Ewell's biggest weakness, is his ground game, and Vera has really good jiu-jitsu. I think he can take this down to the ground, lock in a submission, and end this fight, but I really like Marlon Vera in this fight.
I like Vera too, man. There's value on Vera. This guy is awesome, and for some reason, people respect him. I mean, he's always like just a small favorite lately anyways. I mean, to be fair, some of the guys he's beaten were, you know, guys he should beat, like Guido Canetti and Luigi Byrne and those guys. But this guy is awesome, Cole. I think he's one of the most underrated guys at 135 right now. Four straight wins by stoppage. He finishes you, man. Most of his wins are by stoppage. He has one decision in the UFC. Otherwise, he either knocks you or submits you. His losses are to pretty good fighters for the most part. I'm all in on Marlon Vera, man. I think this guy should have been fighting a top 15 guy. I guess he was supposed to fight Sean O'Malley. Obviously, O'Malley has a lot of issues with USADA. Don't know when he's going to fight again. But Vera's going to win this fight. Ewell's looked okay in the UFC. He's a decent fighter. This should be a decent fight. Should be fun to watch. But I like Vera quite a bit, Cole. He could either win the fight by stoppage or by decision, but I love him at minus 170. I think there's really good value there. I'm surprised that the line's so low. Next up, we have a flyweight bout between Deiveson Figueiredo and Tim Elliott. It's a pretty good fight as well. opening odds had Figueiredo minus 210, Elliott plus 160. Right now, Figueiredo minus 210, Elliott plus 175. So line's pretty much held steady. Who's your pick here?
I like Devin Figueiredo in this fight. It's good to see Tim Elliott back, but he hasn't fought in a while, and just his injury that he's coming all the way towards, like ACL, MCL, LCL, and I think he had some other torn ligaments in there too. It was a really bad injury. And he also hasn't fought in flyweight since June of 2017 against Ben Wynn, because his last fight against De La Rosa was at bantamweight. So he hasn't made that cut in a while. He lost last time at bantamweight when he was submitted really early against Ben Wynn. Devin Figueiredo, I've been really impressed with. I thought he was, Formiga won, I thought he was going to win that fight, and it was a good fight, but I think Figueiredo just keeps his fight on the feet, really picks apart Elliott. I think this will go the distance. Like, this has the potential to be fight end. It'll be a really entertaining fight, but I think Figueiredo wins by decision.
Yeah, I agree with you. This should be a good fight. Figueiredo is very fun to watch. 61 record. He has that one loss to Formiga. That fight, I think, exposed him a little bit because his wrestling did not look good in that fight. He got taken down quite a bit, but otherwise, Cole, 5-1 overall in the UFC. The fight with Pantoja was an amazing fight. One of the best fights of the year. Looked really good in that fight. Guy's got good striking. Very dangerous guy at 125. Elliott, very experienced, good wrestler, but the two-year layoff scares the hell out of me. Having said that, Cole, you know what, man? Stylistically, this is a fight Elliott can win because he has that wrestling, and Figueiredo got exposed by Formiga. So if Elliott just really pursues the takedowns, and we've seen him get takedowns against guys like Demetrius Johnson, so if he can do that to Figueiredo and just take him down and hold him, he can win this fight. I don't trust him, though, coming off the layoff, so I got to go with Figueiredo, but personally, I don't want to bet this fight because I do think Elliott actually can win based on the wrestling. So my pick's Figueiredo win decision. Should be a good fight. If anything, I'd just go with the fight going the distance because I think there's a very good chance it goes in three rounds. That's minus 190. I don't see a finish here. Maybe there could be, but I think it's going to go three rounds. Should be a good fight. Next up, we have another pretty solid matchup here between welterweights Max Griffin and Alex Morono. Morono opened minus 130, Griffin opened minus 110. Right now we have Griffin, the favorite, minus 145, Morono plus 125 underdog. Who's your pick?
I like Max Griffin here. This is another fight that I think could easily be fighting. Like, these are two guys that just throw down. We saw Griffin's last fight. He had a really good performance against Salim Imadov. Morono's coming off that ground-pound TKO win over Zach Otto, which was a good win. I favor Griffin, though. I think his striking is better. I think he's faced better competition. All his losses are against top guys. The Thiago Alves loss, I think we can all agree he won that fight. Lost to Curtis Millender, lost to Eliza Zaleski dos Santos, and lost to Colby Covington. None of those losses are bad. He has a win over Mike Perry, which is good, where he really picked Mike Perry apart. I think he'll do the same to Morono. I think he'll edge out a decision win here.
Yeah, this is a good fight as well. These guys, like you said, throw down. They're always in good fights. I'm going to favor Morono slightly, though. I don't know. I just think he can win this fight. He's looked really good lately. The Zach Otto win was incredible. He's a little bit younger, which I like. I don't know. I think it's going to be a super close fight, but the odds open actually Morono's a slight favorite. I kind of agreed with that. The line's flipped now. Griffin's a favorite. I can see why. Griffin's got some really good performances in the UFC. He's looked solid, but I don't know. I kind of lean towards Morono. It's not a fight I bet on personally. I think it's going to be super close, and I could be wrong about this one, but my gut instinct is that Morono's going to edge on a super close decision. Could be a split decision, and that's what my pick's going to be. So it should be a close fight. I think these guys throw down on the feet, but I think Morono's going to be slightly more effective with his strikes and win a decision. All right, next up we have light heavyweight bout between Devin Clark and Ryan Spann. Opening odds had Ryan Spann minus 215, Clark plus 165 right now. Ryan Spann minus 140, Clark plus 120. So lines draw quite a bit. Spann's only a small favorite now. Who's your pick?
I like Ryan Spann here. I've been really impressed with him. His last win over Little Nog was a really good, quick knockout win. Devin Clark, though, I think his last win impressed us all. I think not many people picked him to beat Darko Stosic. He had a good performance. Before that, although he got knocked out to Alexander Rakic, he had some success in that fight early on. His losses aren't bad. Like, he's lost to Jan Blachowicz, but he doesn't have any huge notable wins. I think the UFC's trying to set up Ryan Spann here to get close to that top 15. I think they have something special in them. And I think his power, I think he'll connect and knock out Clark in the first or second round here.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised Superman's not ranked coming off the win over Little Nog. I was there for that fight, Cole. It was super impressive. The guy's on a nice win streak, six fights in a row. Looked really good. Solid fighter, man. Good submissions, good striking. He's just very solid. Clark, you know what? I got to give him props. He looked good in that last fight against Stosic. Got the win there. But overall, Cole, very inconsistent in the UFC. 4-3 record. Kind of one of those guys that's win-loss, win-loss. He hasn't won a fight by stoppage in the UFC. Really has no great wins in his career. The best win he has is over Stosic, who's not a ranked fighter. Clark coming off that win over Lilnog, that was super impressive to me. He also has that submission win over Emiliano Sordi, Cole, in Contender Series. And that guy is super, super good right now in PFL. So I like Spann a lot. I don't know why the line dropped. I don't get it. Minus 140. I don't get it. I think there's value on him. I would go with Ryan Spann. I think he does win the fight by KO. That's only minus 120, so just take him at minus 140. I think there's some value on Ryan Spann here. I'd be surprised if he lost this fight. I think he wins. Next up, we have James Vick against Nico Price. This is a welterweight bout. James Vick moving up in weight for this fight. Opening odds, Nico Price minus 175, Vick plus 135. Right now, Price minus 155, Vick plus 135. So the line's tight and not too much movement either way. Who's your pick here, man?
I like Nico Price, and I think he'll knock out James Vick. I think a lot of people think Vick will do better at welterweight, but I think it's the same thing as what happened to Luke Rockhold. I think your chin's not hanging at 55. I don't think it's going to hang at 70 when you're getting hit harder and with more power, similar to what Rockhold experienced at light heavyweight. I think this is a James Vick needs this fight to save his job in the UFC. That would be four straight if he loses. I think this is a really tough fight for him to make his welterweight debut. Nico Price brings it. He's always going to be in your face throwing bombs. I think he's kind of that guy. It's either him or his opponent's going to get knocked out. He's never in a boring fight. I just don't think Vick's fixed the issues where he keeps his hands down. And I think if he continues to keep his hands down, Price is going to catch him. He's going to knock him out.
I like Price too, man. I think he does win this fight by KO as well. Like you said, Cole, James Vick, his chin definitely, you know, if he can get caught and if he gets touched up here by Price, who has tons of knockout power, I think he's going to get knocked out. So I like Price here. I don't want to overthink too much. I know he's kind of been inconsistent in UFC as well. He's been finished a few times, but look who he's lost to. Jeff Neal, Abdul over Zach Allison, who's a really good fighter, who has issues outside of the cage, and Luque, who's just like Neal, top 15 guys. So he's got some good, like, wins as well. Juban is a solid win. Tim Means is a solid win. Knocked those guys out. The Tim Means fight, I mean, that was a brutal knockout. The Randy Brown fight knocked him out. Submitted Thatch, submitted Sullivan. This guy's just really good, man. I am a huge fan of Nico Price. I think he's a great fighter. Problem is, obviously, he's one of those guys like Justin Gaethje, man. He just goes to war, and sometimes he gets finished himself. So this guy is really fun to watch. I think this is going to be a very solid fight, very fun fight to watch. But Vick, the three straight losses, the two knockout losses to Hooker and Gaethje. You know, Cole, to be fair to him, he's only lost to elite guys like Hooker, Felder, and Gaethje. You got to be fair to this guy, but I agree with you, man. I think that, you know, if your chin is not holding up 155, I don't think it will 170 when you're fighting a heavy hitter like Nico Price. It's a terrible matchup, I think, for Vick to move up to welterweight too. There was easier fights for him, and the UFC's giving him a very tough fight. He probably asked for a top guy. He's getting one. Price, not top 15 guy, but a top 25 guy in my mind. Nico Price by KO, that's my pick here. And I think he wins probably in the first round. All right, now we're getting to the main card here. First fight on the main card. I think you interviewed Eric Anders, so if you did, give me your thoughts on that interview. But Eric Anders takes on Gerald Meerschaert. Eric Anders, opening minus 150, Meerschaert plus 110. Right now, Anders minus 160, Meerschaert plus 140. Go ahead, Cole.
Yeah, I actually talked to Anders. It's up on BJPenn.com right now. But something he did for this camp and I really like is he went down to Fortis for a bit, worked with Uriah Hall and Jeff Neal. I think that's going to help him out a lot. He said he spent some time working with Ryan Spann because they're both on this card together. I think that's a lot better because out in Alabama, all he does is train with Walt Harris and just a bunch of like local guys. I don't think you really get a whole lot of looks. I think he kind of needs to get that big camp in, which Fortis has. But this is a fight that's going to be really interesting. Eric Anders obviously cutting back down to middleweight. I think he is better at middleweight, even though he has those losses to Theodora. But the Machida loss, I think that could have went either way. This is a fight is going to be really interesting. If Meerschaert can get down to the ground, I think he has a good chance to submit Eric Anders. But we've seen Meerschaert start off really slow, where Anders starts off really fast. I think if that happens, I think Anders will be able to catch Meerschaert, knock him out. The pick is Eric Anders by knockout, but I wouldn't recommend betting because I think there's a very good possibility Meerschaert could easily take him down and submit him.
Yeah, this is a super close fight and go either way. It's a coin flip, in my opinion. There's some more value on Meerschaert as a dog here. He's a very underrated fighter. I think he's won quite a few fights as an underdog. People just kind of write him off. I mean, even me in the last fight, I thought he'd lose to Giles, and he got the nice win there in the third round. So this guy is very solid. Like you said, Cole, his submission game is excellent. Also has knockout power and very tough, too. One knockout loss in his career to Thiago Santos. That's it. You know, he's been submitted a bunch of times, though. That does scare me. Having said that, Anders is not really a submission guy, more of a striker. You know, Anders, he looked great in that last fight. Got the knockout over Moreira, but overall, Cole, he's been very inconsistent in the UFC, and I feel like it's very hard to trust him with your money right now against a guy who's a very talented guy like Gerald Meerschaert. So My pick's going to be Eric Anders. I think he can win a decision here. Maybe knock out Mearshart. Probably not, though. Mearshart's super tough. But honestly, Cole, I wouldn't bet on him, man. I think you're right. I think this is a pass. If anything, there could be some value on Mearshart. I just don't think he wins this fight. I think Anders is going to grind it out. All right, next up, we have a lightweight bout between Luis Pena and Matt Frevola. Opening odds at Pena -165, Frevola +125. Now we have Pena -165, Frevola +145. So again, not too much movement, but who's your pick here?
I like Luis Pena. I think he wins a decision, but again, this is a fight I wouldn't bet on because I could go either way. Like Pena, although he looked really good in his last win, that was against Matt Wyman, and I don't think a lot of people picked Wyman in that fight. He has the win over Steven Peterson, but he was way bigger and missed weight. His last real fight against at lightweight, besides Wyman, was Chisano, which he lost to. Frevola's coming off that huge win over Jalen Turner. Not many people expected him to win that fight. He has a draw against Lando Venata, then he got knocked out to Paulo Reyes, which isn't a good loss looking back on it. But I just think Pena's size and his reach, I think that's going to be a huge factor at lightweight still. I think he's just so, just the way he wrestles too, I just think it's going to be a huge factor. He comes from a good camp at AKA. He's a main training partner of Khabib, which is, I mean, you can't get much better than that. So I think he'll edge out a decision win here, but it is a very close fight, and I wouldn't recommend betting because I wouldn't be surprised if Frevola won the fight.
Yeah, it's a super close fight, and I'm just seeing here that Frevola is actually a Tampa native, and he trains in Tampa Bay. So, well, he's not from Tampa, but he trains there and lives there. So that could help him out here. I mean, I'm assuming the fans are going to be cheering for him. That could help him if it's a close fight. Never know, but I do favor Pena a little bit. I think just the size, this guy's so big, Cole. It's crazy he made, well, he didn't make 145. I guess he missed weight for that fight, but guy's freaking massive, man. And that fight with Matt Wyman, I know Matt Wyman coming off that huge layoff, he was in for a rough night, but wow, I mean, Pena absolutely smashed him. That was an absolutely incredible performance by him. Frevola looked good against Turner. The guy's pretty underrated in my opinion, but I do like Pena a little bit. I think it's going to be a close fight though, Cole. So I'm kind of with you. I don't know, you know, if I want to bet on it, but I do favor Luis Pena to win decision probably. I think he grinds this fight out. Prop on that is Pena by decision +175. So maybe there's some value on that. I think he wins by decision. Is that, would you favor decision or you think stoppage? Or?
Yeah, I think it goes the distance.
Me too. So I think maybe there's value on there, but again, it could be close. Frevola is, like I said, a little bit underrated, and I think we don't give him the credit he deserves. Okay, next up, we have a women's strawweight bout. It could be a flyweight bout. I almost said flyweight because I don't know if Dern's going to make weight. But we have the new mother here, Mackenzie Dern, coming off a pregnancy. She'll be taking on Amanda Ribas, who's coming off a nice win in her UFC debut. So opening odds, Mackenzie Dern -245, Ribas +175. Right now, we have Dern -135, Ribas +115. So looks like bettors are fading Mackenzie Dern coming off the pregnancy, Cole. What do you think, man?
I like Mackenzie Dern this fight. I just think Amanda Ribas' best skill is her jiu-jitsu, and you're not going to out-grapple Mackenzie Dern, which is how I break down this fight. I think they're both good at jiu-jitsu. Dern's obviously a lot better. Striking-wise, I've actually been impressed with what I've seen from striking-wise from Mackenzie Dern. I think it is underrated. Amanda Ribas, we didn't see a whole lot of her striking. I just think Dern's size, I know even if she makes weight, she will be much bigger than Ribas. I think the size, she'll be able to control it on the ground. It's going to be interesting to see if she'll be able to submit Ribas, because given she is so good on the ground, but I like Mackenzie Dern in this fight.
I like Dern too, you know, but I am concerned about the weight. I don't know if she'll make weight, Cole. She's missed it before, and she hasn't fought in over a year, almost a year and a half now. And, you know, like I said, she just had a kid. So who knows if she's even going to make weight. I'm not convinced she will. So we'll see what happens. I hope she does. I like Mackenzie Dern quite a bit. I'm a big fan of hers. I think she's very marketable. I think she's got a great ground game. I think she can go far in the sport, but I just really hope that she can make weight, because I'm not convinced she's a strawweight. Well, I think she is a flyweight person. I think she will grow into that division. But anyways, as far as this fight goes, I pretty much agree with your breakdown. I mean, Ribas, she's good. I mean, she looked great in that fight with Emily Whitmire. That's a huge win for her in her debut after a three-year layoff. That was an incredible long layoff. I think she had some USADA issues as well. But coming off that long layoff, getting a win over Whitmire, who's on fire, that was a great win. But like you said, Cole, she's mostly a submission artist, and Mackenzie Dern is like probably the best, I would assume, the best jiu-jitsu fighter at 155 right now. I do like Mackenzie Dern quite a bit in this fight. I think she wins this fight by submission. And what's the problem on that? Mackenzie Dern by submission. We have, well, it's +125 for inside the distance. But, yeah, I don't know if there's tons of value there. But I do think she wins by submission. All right, co-main event time, Cub Swanson versus Kron Gracie. This is an interesting one, Cole. Cron Gracie -265, Cub Swanson +185. Right now, the odds, oops, I closed best fight odds by accident. Right now, the odds have dropped a bit. I know that. Cub Swanson +145, Cron Gracie -165. So slight lean towards Cron Gracie, but definitely not as big as the opening line was. Who's your pick here, man?
I like Cron Gracie here. I just can't get out of my head Cub Swanson getting submitted by so many non-jiu-jitsu guys. He's got submitted by Moicano, Holloway, Edgar, Ricardo Lamas. Like, he just gets submitted a lot. I know he got submitted just, and he gives up his neck quite easy. Like, he's been submitted by guillotine or rear neck choke quite often. If you go down to the ground against Gracie, I don't think Swanson's going to get out, and I think Swanson's going to get submitted. In over 15 minutes, I think this fight will eventually hit the mat, and I think Gracie can sink into submission. But this is a tough test for Gracie. I know a lot of people are writing Cub Swanson off, but all his losses aren't really bad losses. He's fought a lot of top guys, but I just favor Cron Gracie. I think he gets a submission win, but this is a much closer fight, and the odds are suggesting it as Swanson's starting to be a less of a dog here.
Yeah, this is a closer fight than I think a lot of people think it's going to be, Cole. And you know what? I know this is crazy, but I'm going to go with Cub Swanson here. I know that's crazy. He's looked terrible in four straight losses, but more experience, better striker. And I just feel like this is a big step up for Cron. One fight in the UFC where Alex Caceres, listen, he looked great in that fight. The guy's got great jiu-jitsu. Cub Swanson's a guy who's been submitted many times. I understand why the line's like this, but I don't know, man. I'm convinced Cub Swanson's going to lose this fight. I think there's some value on him. So my pick's going to be Cub Swanson. I haven't picked too many underdogs in this card. I think Morono and Swanson are the only ones, but I slightly favor Cub Swanson. And like I said, there's not going to be every fight ending with the favorite winning. I think there will be a few dogs, and I think Swanson can win this fight. So I know you kind of think that he could pull it off, Cole, as well, and I think he's going to win. So that's my pick. Cub Swanson, grind out decision. Should be a really interesting fight. Would not be surprised if he gets submitted, though. Not at all, but I just feel like with the – look at the experience advantage. He's got 36 fights. Cron's got 5. I think that's huge. So we'll see what happens. Main event time, women's strawweight bout, 5 rounds. Joanna Jędrzejczyk and Michelle Waterson. Good fight, Cole. I mean, the line is pretty crazy, though. Opened at -350 for Jędrzejczyk, Waterson +275. Right now, -370 for Jędrzejczyk, +310 for Waterson. What do you think about the line, man, and who's your pick?
Yeah, the line is high. I think I talked to Waterson before this fight. I think she comes from a good camp, Jackson Wink. She trains with Holly Holm a lot, which will help, obviously, that boxing background. Jędrzejczyk hasn't fought in strawweight in a while, but I still favor Jędrzejczyk. Her striking, I just think, will be a huge factor. I think their size will be big. I think Waterson's real hope to win this fight is to try to use her jiu-jitsu, see if she can get Jędrzejczyk down to the ground. But not many people have been able to take Joanna down for a reason. I think her takedown defense is really good. I think she'll win this fight. I don't know if she'll be able to finish Michelle Waterson. I think Waterson is tough, and I think she'll be able to use her striking defense effectively to not get finished. But I like Joanna Jędrzejczyk here, and I think she wins by decision.
Yeah, I do like Joanna as well. I think she's just a better fighter, you know, more proven in 5-round fights, which I think is the key here, 5 rounds. I just think the line's a little high. Waterson's looked really good, like 3 straight wins. Joanna hasn't fought it. Strawweight since last summer as well, so that's kind of interesting. But I mean, she lost to Valentina, she lost to Rose. Those are elite fighters. I'm not completely writing off Joanna yet. I think she wins this fight, Cole. Should be an interesting matchup, though. I think that, like I said, the line's a little high. Waterson could be more competitive than people think, but I do feel like Joanna's going to get her hand raised at the end of 5 rounds, and I do think she'll probably win by decision. That's -145, so a little bit more reasonable. But considering it is 5 rounds, who knows? Maybe there's going to be a stoppage. But I do like Joanna to a decision. And, well, I'm going to respond to this guy anyways. So don't really love the comment, but I'll respond to it. So this guy, Bad, can't even pronounce his name. But anyways, the comment is, we got 2 comments here. One, who's the best underdog pick in the car? I'll give you your time to answer the question, Cole. I know you didn't pick any underdogs, Cole. So who would you pick, though?
I like Frivola, I think, is an underdog. I think Murano is an underdog. And I think Clark as an underdog are probably the 3 I'd go with.
Yeah, for like I said, I picked Swanson and...
Well, I actually, Cobb, I think, a good chance too.
I picked Swanson and Morono as dogs. I do feel like a lot of favorites will win, but it's hard to say. I think, obviously, there's going to be some underdogs that win, but it looks like a lot of people like favorites. The other question is, are you still a sure dog? Your last prime picks were atrocious. Well, I appreciate the troll comment, man. First off, there's no one that's more upfront about when their picks are wrong than me, so... I don't understand why this guy's trolling, but I quit Sherdog. They didn't fire me. It's not because my prime picks weren't good. I left. So I'm not with them. I'm with BJPenn.com. I'm with MAOddsBreaker.com. And I'm with MARaise.net. I'm very happy with them. And again, when anyone gets a pick wrong, Cole, I'm the first guy to say I got the pick wrong. So yes, you're right. My last prime picks, they did suck. I admit it. However, I admitted that back in July, so I'm not sure why you're bringing it up in October, man. Very strange. But no, I'm not with SureDog anymore. I'm very happy with my current home at BJ and MA Oddsbreaker. They treat me very well. SureDog just didn't work out. You know, all respect to those guys there. I have no issue with anyone. Cole's still there. A lot of great guys there, but just didn't work out for me personally. And that's all good. You know, that's a business, man. Like, there's places that will work out better for you and places that won't. It's like in any walk of life, really. So I'm not with them anymore. I wish all those guys the best of luck, but I'm doing my own thing right now. And I'm very, very happy with my current situation, I got to admit. All right, now we got a couple other things to talk about here.
Wait, go ahead. I just got an email from Bare Knuckle. Hector Lombard signed with
them. I was going to say, I just saw that on Twitter. So Hector Lombard just signed with Bare Knuckle. The latest guy to sign with Bare Knuckle. I mean, we've had tons of them. Bigfoot, Gabriel Gonzalez. Just initial thoughts on that, man. I can't see it going too well for Hector.
He gets knocked out so much. I don't know. I don't know why they go there, because it doesn't seem like he gets much viewers. I don't know how much money they can possibly make. Like, I think Bellator is better off for half these guys. Like, I think Bellator could be interested in Lombard because he's a name. Like,
yeah, I know. Lombard's coming off 6 straight losses. That's crazy, man. I think him and BJ had the longest losing streaks in UFC history. 6 straight losses. Got knocked out 3 times in that span. I mean, the Dolloway fight, he should have won that fight, but it was after the belly knockdown, so whatever. And then the Burpin fight, no contest. He's actually in a skid of 0-6, won no contest. That's really bad. But the guy's a big name. Just can't see it going well for him, Cole. He's so old now, 41. He hasn't aged as well as his buddy Hector, as Yoel Romero, unfortunately. I think Bellator would have been a good spot for him, man. He's got, like you said, a lot of experience there, and he's still a big name. I think they need middleweight, so I think he should have signed there. But yeah, that's interesting. I mean, personally, you know, I've talked about this in the podcast. I'm not a huge fan of the Bare Knuckle. I tune in a little bit, but it's not really my thing. I like MMA better. I like the ground game, the mix of ground and striking. So that's just me, but I know there are some fans of Bare Knuckle here, and I know you watch a little bit more than I do, Cole, so no worries there. I want to talk about UFC UFC 243 picks were atrocious. No, I went 8-3, so actually they're pretty good, man.
No, I think he's talking about SureDog's prime picks.
Oh, were they? Oh, okay. No worries. No
that's
worries.
That's not even Adam doing it.
Okay, no worries. Yeah, you know what? It is what it is, dude. It's hard to make your picks. I mean, there's been a lot of upsets lately. I apologize that I took the comment the wrong way. My last prime picks were atrocious. I just checked. They sucked. It was that card with Leon Edwards and RDA, and I picked Ben Roth over Orlovsky, which was not a good pick, but it happens, you know? But you know what? I think Jay Petrie's doing those things now.
Yeah.
It's tough, man. It's not easy. You know what I mean? So again, I apologize. I took the comment the wrong way. I thought you were talking about me, but clearly he was talking about the other guys. No worries. No worries. What was I going to talk about? Oh yeah. Okay. So I want to talk about UFC 243 and Bellator 229, but do you want to talk a little bit about Bellator 230 and PFL first, Cole, and then do the recaps? Okay, so let's do Bellator Italy. That takes place this weekend. I don't want to go too much into this one.
Yeah, there's only a couple good notable fights on it.
Yeah. Okay, so Melvin Manhoef versus Yannick Bahadi. I don't know too much about Bahadi, but Manhoef, man, how old is he now? 43. He actually is coming off a win over Ken Kalpin. I thought he'd lose that fight, but the two losses to Carvalho. What do you think about that fight, man? I don't know much about Bahadi.
I like Melvin Manhoef. I think this is Manhoef's retirement fight, or he has one more after this, but I think he knocks him out. Bahadi's been knocked out a ton. Manhoef has power. I think it's going to be Manhoef by knockout would be my pick.
Yeah, I don't know too much about this guy, so I have to look into him more, but I'm assuming we'll have a betting line for this. Nothing yet, but hopefully in the next couple of days. Also, Alessio Sicara is taking on this guy, Cannon Grigsby. Any thoughts on that fight?
I think this is a setup fight for Sicara to win in Italy. He hasn't been too impressive in Bellator. I don't really know much about this Cannon Grigsby guy. He has 8-7 record, which isn't really that good for what Sicara is. But Sicara has been really disappointing in Bellator. Like, every time he wins a couple fights, he'll lose. Like, he got knocked out to Carvalho in like 4 to 4 seconds. Then he picked away and then lost again. He's really inconsistent, but I think this is a setup fight for him to look good in front of his home country.
Yeah. What about this one? Rafael Carvalho versus Vadim Nemkov. That's actually a pretty good fight. What do you think of that one?
Yeah, that's actually a really good fight. I think this is going to decide who's going to be next in line at 205. I think Carvalho moving up, it should be interesting. I favor Nemkov a bit. I think I've been more impressed with him. he'll have a size advantage. Carvalho, obviously, he's coming off of losses, but they were Musasi and Cheetah. I think he has a win in between. Yeah, he has, or it was Musasi with Cheetah, then he beat Njokanu. But I like Nemkov here. I think this is going to be the best fight on this card. I think it goes the distance, but I think Nemkov edges out a decision.
He's looked good, man, coming off that win over Phil Davis. It's been almost a year, which is crazy. I thought he's been more active than that, but solid fighter, got good experience. Carvalho, pretty good fighter, but I don't like him at light heavyweight as much. Is this a light heavyweight debut? I think it is.
Yeah.
Cool. Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, I do like Nemkov. Also, what about this guy, Kirill Sedinlikov against Domingo Barros? Isn't this Baby Fedor? Yeah, Baby Fedor's fighting. What do you think of that one?
I have to go with Baby Fedor in this one. I think he can get done. Obviously, he's coming off the two losses, but I don't know. Barros is good. He's 6-0. I think it's hard to tell with Bellator because sometimes they try to set up their prospects and they often lose. I think this is a fight where it's going to be super close. I think if the odds do come out for this fight, who knows if they do, it's going to be like a pick'em, but I don't know. I just think Baby Fedor will get it done.
Yeah, I'd have to assume he wins as well. There's also some kickboxing here. Gabriel Varga is fighting. Also, Kevin Ross, that's Gina Carano's boyfriend. He's going to be fighting on this card as well. Any thoughts on those fights?
I don't follow kickboxing that much, but those are two names that when I do follow kickboxing, those are two big names that I know. And I think I don't get why Bellator does this, like the half MMA, half kickboxing events. I don't think it really makes sense because is it going to be a square ring then, or are they going to do like their circle and then kickboxing has to take place in the circle? Like, that's what I don't understand.
Well, sure, to be honest, not 100% sure. All I know, Varga is actually from Toronto, so pretty familiar with him. Excellent fighter. But I'm with you, Cole. I don't know a ton about the setup right now for this, and I'm with you in that it's kind of weird how they're doing these split cards, but, you know, they have their thing here. Actually, Varga, oh, yeah, he just fought, actually, in MMA. He won his last fight. That was interesting. So this guy could be good. I mean, he's young, and he's not that young. He's 34, but, you know, he's marketable, I'd say. I should definitely say that. All right, let's talk about PFL quickly, Cole. PFL Week 7 semifinal fights. One second here. Got to pull this out. PFL.
Oh, Thomas Gifford just got an opponent against Mike Davis.
Who?
Mike Davis.
Mike Davis, yeah. Okay. Any thoughts on that?
Probably favor Gifford just because he's been preparing for this fight. Davis, he's coming off that. He fought Gilbert Burns. Is that his last fight?
I think. Yeah, he took that fight in short notice. He was a contender series guy, right?
Yeah. His last fight is Gilbert Burns, who got submitted. I probably favor Thomas Gifford to get it done.
Yeah, I assume so as well. One sec. Okay, so I found the PFL fights. Also, I should mention, yeah, you just bring up that fight, but we don't have odds for that. So I want to think about that fight a little bit more. I mean, I guess Gifford should be favored because he has been training, but I don't think he's that good of a fighter, man. So I think Mike Davis would have a chance. I got to look into that one more. Kind of just sprung it on me, obviously. All right, let's talk about PFL. Okay, so PFL 2019 Week 7, semifinal fights. Now, I want to get your thoughts on some of these matchups. Women's lightweight bout, Kayla Harris against Gina Fabian. Who wins?
Kayla Harrison by domination.
Yeah, this fight's not even close. And Fabian is in for a world of hurt here, man. This is a really tough fight for her. Kayla Harrison should win very easily. And this is the other fight. This one's more interesting, Cole. Sarah Coffman against Larissa Pacheco. Who's your pick here?
This is going to be a really interesting fight, a really close fight. I favor Sarah Coffman. I just think her experience. But the size of Pacheco could be a factor in this one. She's obviously a lot bigger than Coffman. But I think Coffman's skill set will just be too much for Pacheco, and she'll win it.
Yeah, I mean, Sarah Coffman's going to be favored. But don't count Pacheco. She's super young, 25. She has UFC experience. She has some good wins, like Irene Aldana. She knocked her out back in jungle fights. She's a good fighter, man. Unfortunately, she kind of came to the UFC at a very early age. Got knocked out by Jermaine Duranemi and finished by Andrade. She lost to Shea Song on the show. But I think she's actually a decent fighter. So I would give Pacheco a pretty good chance to win this fight. I think it's closer than what the odds are going to be. John Howard against David Michaud. Thoughts on that one?
I think John Howard knocks out David Michaud. I think Howard impressed a lot of people with the knockout over Ray Cooper III. No one really saw that coming. I think it's going to be a win for Howard. We've seen Michaud get knocked out before. I favor John Howard here.
Yeah, this is a tough one to call. I mean, John Howard looked amazing against Ray Cooper, but, you know, overall, I think he's the guy you want to fade because he's super old and been knocked out a bunch of times. Michaud coming off a really good win. by stoppage. He's actually won five of his last six, but he's been knocked out a bunch of times. I think Coward will be favored, but I don't know. I think Bisho could win this fight. Next up, Magomed Karimov against Chris Curtis. Who's your pick?
I like Magomed Karimov here. Too many Magomeds, but we saw what he did against Chris Curtis in the first fight. His wrestling is just going to be a huge factor. I really like Chris Curtis as a fighter. I think he's really good. I think he's a guy that should have been in the UFC. Dana White just didn't like him for whatever reason. But I think Magomed Karimov's wrestling, we saw in the first fight what he did, how we can just hold Curtis down, really just ground pound him. I think that's going to be very similar to the second fight. They only fought a couple months ago in the final fight of their round robin. Magomed Karimov won last year for a reason. His wrestling is just too good for anyone to handle. I think he'll win by decision again.
Yeah, Chris Curtis, man, gotta feel bad for this dude. He had a nice win streak, gets a win on Contender Series by knockout, and then Dana White's like, "You're too old, I don't want you." And I think he retired like for a few months and then came back. But you gotta feel bad for this dude, man. He should be in the UFC. But either way, this is a bad matchup for him. They already fought a few months ago. Magomed Karimov won the fight pretty dominantly. He's going to win this fight. The only question is he finishes this fight this time around. I don't know, but I don't think they do props anyways in PFL. So either way, I like Magomed Karimov to win the fight. Glenko Franka versus Andre Fialo in a welterweight bout. Any thoughts?
The Franco Fialo one? Is that up next?
Yeah. This is very topology.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like Franka here. I think he'll knock out Fialo. He's on a good winning streak, has some good wins, submission wins, ground pound wins. Fialo, I haven't been too impressed with. He's always coming off that ground pound loss to Chris Curtis. I like Franco here. I think he'll win this fight by stoppage.
Yeah, it should be good fighting. They both have good experience. Franco was in the UFC for a while. Fialo was in Bellator. You know, Fialo, I was looking at his resume. He fought some guy named Wanderson Silva. That's hilarious. That's got to be a fake fighter. There's no way that guy's real. But yeah, I do favor Franca as well. Man, he's been impressive this haul. You know, nice win streak here, eight fights in a row. Got some good names on his resume lately. You got to feel bad for this guy, Cole. He had three fights in UFC, beat Fernando Bruno, who's not in UFC anymore, obviously, and then lost to James Vick and Gregor Gillespie on decision and got cut. So very crappy. And John Dosen is awesome. So thanks, man. I really appreciate it. So that's cool. I really appreciate the comment there. But yeah, you got to feel bad for this dude, man. He loses two fights and gets cut to Gregor Gillespie and James Vick. That sucks. But yeah, he's going to win this fight. How about this one? Prelim, but I'm surprised Ray Cooper's on the prelims, but I guess he lost his last fight. Ray Cooper 3 against Sadibusi. Who's your pick?
Well, I forgot to mention with PFL, what's interesting about this is the welterweights are going to fight twice in one night. So I think it's only the two rounds and the second fight is three rounds. Is that how they do it?
So, yes, I'm pretty sure you're right. They did that last year. There were some draws. In the case of a draw, if I'm not mistaken, the guy who wins the first round wins the fight, which is kind of weird. But
no, I think they're switching it. They're doing if it goes a draw, it's pride rule. So it's over the course of the entire fight. They judge fight.
Okay, cool. So the judges have to pick someone. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I like that better because there was too many draws last year in it. I did not know that, but I'm glad Cole brought that up. And anyways, who's your pick in this one?
Well, and then just another collaboration. Women don't fight twice in one night because they're the only four, so they'll fight on December 31st. Just the welterweights will go. But I like Ray Cooper the third here. I think that loss to John Howard was really disappointing. He was kind of that star of PFL last year.
Oh yeah,
and a lot of people thought maybe the UFC should try to sign him and lure him away from PFL. And his stock took a big hit this year. He didn't have a very good performance against Zane Kamaka. He got the submission win, but he didn't look as good as he did. Then Howard, he just got knocked out. He got caught. Sadibusi, I'm just not that impressed with. He doesn't have that many good wins. I think Cooper should be able to knock him out, but you never know how Cooper's chin is like after getting knocked out, where Sai has power, he could knock him out, but I'll pick Cooper by knockout.
Yeah, I like Cooper too, but like you said, Cole, he's kind of declined a little bit. I feel like maybe he got a little cocky. You know, he had such a good showing last year. The two wins were over Jake Shields, incredible wins. I think he got a little cocky, man, and thought he could run over these guys. And John Howard is the fight he should have won. He was like a massive, massive favorite against KO. So hopefully he's learned from that. You know, I think this guy's very good, and I do like him quite a bit in this fight. I do think he could be in the UFC one day. Give me Ray Cooper 3, man. I think he wins this fight by KO. How about this one? Jesse Ronson against Nikolai Aleksakin. If I'm not mistaken, this is a non-tournament fight, right?
Yeah.
Non-tournament fight, right? Okay. Who's your pick?
I like Jesse Ronson here. I think I mean, obviously, he's coming off that loss to Schulte, but he looked really impressive against the former champ. Alex Johnson actually just fought Ben Askren and lost, but I know Ron's a natural lightweight, but he's fought at welterweight in TKO, which is probably Canada's probably top or second best promotion. Like, regional-wise, he was the welterweight champion there. He has a lot of good wins. I think Ronson is a better fighter, and I think he'll get the win here.
Yeah, Ronson's awesome, man. And I've seen him fight a couple times in person in Ontario here back in the Score Fighting series. Very good fighter. You talk about bad runs in the UFC, Cole. Three straight split decision losses to Michelle Prezeris, Francisco Trinaldo, and Kevin Lee, and got cut. I mean, that is just absolutely brutal. He got signed to the UFC last year. He was supposed to fight at UFC 231, and he missed weight. And UFC was super pissed at him, and they cut him. So, fortunately for him, he's landed in PFL. It's a good spot for him. He took that fight with Schulte on short notice. He lost, but I think it gave him some goodwill with the promotion. It's giving another fighter. But this is a tough fight, man. This guy, Alex Sokin, look at his record, Cole, 24-5, and look who he's beaten, like some good fighters. Jonathan Webb, former UFC fighter. Elias Silveiro, former UFC fighter. Dominic Steele, former UFC fighter. Mike Graves, former UFC fighter. So this guy's fought UFC caliber guys, man. He's been beating them. He's on a nice win streak. I kind of think this guy wins this fight, personally. So we'll see what happens. I like Ronson quite a bit, but he can be inconsistent at times. I think this could be a tough fight for him. Last fight on the card, another guy should be in the UFC. Crazy that he's not in the UFC. Brennan Lofton against Matt Wagyi. Wow, I mean, Dana White, is this not proof that he's the most stubborn guy out there? Come on, he should be in the UFC.
I think Lofton should be in the UFC. I think he'll prove it here. I think he'll finish Matt Wagyi. I think he has to be a favorite next year to win that tournament. I think he is one of the best fighters in the world. I think he would have been ranked at featherweight. I think he's that good. His just wrestling's good. His striking's good. He's just a very well-rounded fighter. I think he'll dominate this fight.
Yeah, Lofton wins this fight, man. And again, I was very surprised when Dana White first passed on then how stubborn he was when all the fans, media, and other fighters were saying sign the guy, and he still was like, no, I don't want him. Just crazy, man. Crazy. Dana White's like, well, let's see if he can prove me wrong. I think he will. I think this guy's going to have a good run. And you know what, Cole? You know what? It might work out really well for him because I think he has a good chance to win that $1 million next year. So we'll see what happens there with Brandon Lofton. But, yes, that's it for PFL. All right. So I actually recapped the UFC 243 and Bellator 220 yesterday on my own podcast, but I didn't get a chance to talk about Cole. So let's talk about briefly, Cole. I don't want to go too much in depth in here. But let's start with, obviously, the main event. Adesanya beats Whitaker, second round knockout. I picked Adesanya, you picked Whitaker up, if I'm not mistaken. So, crazy fight. I thought it could have went either way, but I did like Adesanya slightly, and I think he proved in this fight that he's the best middleweight in the world right now. But he's going to be taking on Paulo Costa next, so tell us about it, man. You broke down the news.
Yeah, I got a call from someone very connected to one side of them, and then I asked someone on the other side if that was true, and they said basically we started negotiations. It's looking like March. The only thing is, obviously, March is a long time away. A lot could happen. Injuries could happen. That's why I only said it's targeted. Nothing is signed at this time. There's still the fight only happened on Saturday, so they're still in a very brief negotiations. Like, the date's been agreed to. Obviously, the two want to fight each other. They've both been calling each other out. But a lot could happen. Like, maybe the UFC decides maybe we'll do another stadium show in February that's not planned, and it gets moved then. But Costa Adesanya is next. It's looking like Vegas in March.
Yeah, it's going to be a great fight. So, obviously, I was one of the people saying that he should fight John Jones next. And I still want to see that fight, but I can understand why they're doing the Costa fight. It's an excellent matchup. And I should mention the opening odds have been released for that. The opening odds actually had Adesanya open at minus 140 and Costa open at plus 120 right now. Adesanya minus 175, Costa plus 150. So, slight action in Adesanya's way. I think that line's super low. I think Adesanya should be a much bigger favorite, Cole. I really like him in this fight, man. I personally don't feel like it's that tough of a fight for him. Costa's a good fighter, very durable, obviously. Good striking, very aggressive, good chin. But Adesanya's going to pick him apart, man. You got to lean towards Adesanya in this fight, right?
Yeah, I lean towards Adesanya here. I think if Adesanya gets out of the first round, I think it's going to be a really – I think the first round is the only round you have to be worried about because Costa has that power. One punch, you can put anyone to sleep.
Yeah, for sure. Excuse me.
I think that's the only thing. Like, just that if he gets out of that first round, I think it's going to be Adesanya because we've seen Costa gas in three rounds. Adesanya, if he takes him to deep water, takes him to the fourth, fifth round, it's going to be a beatdown, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that. Do you think the John Jones fight will happen next year or the year after? Because that's going to happen.
I think it will happen. Am I interested in it at all? No, I think it would be a complete, utter domination for John Jones. I think if you look, I honestly think Thiago Santos was like a minus 500 favorite, I think, or a plus 500, sorry, I think Adesanya would be, should be like plus 800. I don't even think it'll be close. The size difference, Jones could grab him, bring him down, and Adesanya would knock it up.
Strength, yeah, you know, you probably just get taken down, but they're the same height, 6'4", and Adesanya has an 80-inch reach, so he could actually reach Jon Jones, who's 84, I believe. So I think it's an interesting fight, but yeah, I can see why he's kind of focusing on the well, on the middleweights right now. Cormier event, Dan Hooker beats Quinta. Again, I've talked about these fights, so I don't want to go too much in depth, but I do want to talk about Dan Hooker here because I just actually wrote the article about BJ Penn-Cole. He wants either Justin Gaethje or Dustin Poirier. Do you think he gets one of those guys?
I don't think he gets either. I think he's more in line of that Paul Felder, Edson, or not Edson, like the Paul Felder range.
Hold on a second. Go ahead, though. Sorry, go ahead.
I think he's in that Paul Felder range. I don't think he's getting a top five guy. I think Gaethje's going to wait for the title shot, the winner of Khabib Ferguson. I think Poirier's going to fight. I think Cowboy, Connor, someone like that. I think Cowboy could be a good fight for Hooker as well, but I don't think he's getting a top guy.
I don't know. Okay, so I'm a big fan of Poirier. I think we all like the guy, but is it just me, Cole? Is he like getting super cocky like lately? Like, why does he think he deserves a fight like with anyone in the top three right now? Like, he should be getting like a win, right? Like, he got dominated by Khabib. Got to work your way back up. I can see why he wants Connor, but it's almost like he feels like he's entitled to fight Connor. It's kind of weird. I'm a big fan of Poirier. Don't get me wrong. He's a great guy, but I don't know. It's kind of weird, like, in my opinion. I don't know if you agree with me or not, but it's
yeah,
just
I do.
Focused. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, I think Hooker, I think he'll fight probably Poirier personally, but we'll see what happens. I will say this, and I think you'll agree. He'll be getting that main event slot in New Zealand next year when they do that card. I think it's January, February. They'll do a fight night there. Dan Hooker, five-round main event. And also, I should mention, he does not want to fight Islam Makhachev because he wants to fight a guy with a bigger name. You can't blame him for that. It's hilarious, actually. If you heard the clip, it's on his Twitter, Cole. He's like, if I fight Islam, I'm going to have to sit in the parking lot giving away tickets because no one knows who the guy is. Although, I got to say this, I think Islam actually probably beats Dan Hooker, to be honest with you. But he doesn't have a big enough name yet, so got to work our way up. Just a couple more things in this card. Is Tai Tuivasa the worst heavyweight in the UFC?
No.
Where do you rank him then?
A lot better than some of the other guys they give Greg Hardy.
Yeah, that's true. Now, I was going to say, what about Greg Hardy versus Tai Tuivasa? I was actually going to ask
him. I mean, people, I think.
Why not?
I brought it up to you on Twitter. I think, man, sign Justin Willis. Break, yeah, you said let that fight happen. Losers cut from the UFC for good. It's the only fight that makes sense for Tuivasa because they have such a rivalry. They hate each other. They always message each other, like, privately on DMs. They always tweet at each other. It's just, like, no other fight. I don't think he's going to bring eyeballs to Tuivasa. I think that will at least have some intrigue to it.
But how big of a disappointment has this guy been, honestly?
His wrestling is awful. It doesn't even look like he trains. I think he just relies on if he can knock him out.
I honestly don't think he had a training camp. If he did, it was just striking. I don't think he trains his ground game. Because the way he got taken down was like an amateur taken down.
I could see the shot coming. Like, they were like 5 steps ahead. I'm like, here comes a takedown, and takedown right away. Like,
yeah, I don't think this shows that Spivak is like UFC caliber either. I don't think he's that great, but he got the win here. What about this guy, Jorgen De Castro? How much potential does he have? He looked amazing.
I think he looked good too. I don't know how much potential he has. I still think he's on that lower tier of heavyweights. I think he'd be a opponent for Greg Hardy eventually if they look to start giving some names, because obviously he has a knockout power. But I think someone like Juan Adams, someone like Alan Crowder, someone around that range would be good for Jorgen De Castro next, trying to keep him building, or the winner gets a fairly big win as well.
Did you score these fights for Sure Dog? You scored them?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you score the Matthews Akman fight?
Yeah. 30-27 Matthews.
I didn't even focus on the fight. I couldn't stop looking at this guy's back hair. This guy's got a shame, man. Jeez. Did you see that Jake Matthews interview after? He said that it was so slippery, like, he couldn't focus on like the fight itself because the guy kept slipping off him. I thought that was hilarious. But yeah, this guy, I mean, he's gonna get cut. Mackie Bitolo, how disappointing was that?
I don't think Pato is UFC level. I think that you're gonna see this a lot with the Contender Series guys. I think they signed too many guys that aren't UFC caliber, and I think they're gonna show. I think Dana White was just so fixated on so many guys coming from his show that he didn't really look at if they're UFC caliber, and I think a lot of people are going to be exposed this year from it.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I think this guy's better than what he showed in this fight. There's just a bad performance. I think he is actually pretty talented, but yeah, definitely looked bad in this fight. What about this fight, Brad Riddle, Jimmy Mularkey? Fight of the year, or top five at least?
I think it's up there. I think it's easily the best fight we've seen in September and October. I don't think we've seen a better one. I think I still have to give the edge to Adesanya Gastelum. I think that's going to be up there. I think. Yeah. I think.
What do you think? I said because Brad Riddle says he wants to fight in Vegas. Tristan Connolly says he wants to fight in Vegas.
I like that fight.
I love it too. Yeah, I think it'd be a sick fight, right? Tristan Connolly versus Brad Riddle. I think that'd be great. Are you buying Megan Anderson as a contender for Amanda Nunes because she thinks she can beat her?
I mean, how many featherweights are there? Three? Nunes, Spencer.
It would be.
Like, that's a bad matchup for her. Do you know what? Honestly, I think Felicia Spencer deserves the title shot more than Megan Anderson coming off a loss.
Yeah, I agree with that too. Actually, Felicia Spencer is an interesting fight for Amanda Nunes. Maybe they do that fight next, Anderson versus Spencer.
It already happened, and Spencer submitted her in like
What other fights are there, though? There's no one else.
Maybe you do the rematch. Maybe do the rematch. Loser gets cut. Winner fights Nunes. That's the last fight of the featherweight division.
That fight was actually earlier this year in Rochester. I just remembered, but yes, there's no one in that division. How about that cheap shot from Nadia Castle? You think it was karma when she got finished?
I don't like her move at all. I think it was – I don't think – I see, I don't mind people saying, like, oh, Masvidal was disrespectful because he never glove touched and he just do a flying knee. But they had no intention to glove touch, so I don't have any problem with that. If you don't have any intention to glove touch and you throw a knee or you throw, like, an overhand right away, I have no problem. But if you're sticking your hand out for glove touch and then you throw a punch or a kick, I think that's very disrespectful. I think it's – and then she got caught right after when she was charging in, which is kind of funny.
She's going to get cut too. She hasn't looked good in the UFC. All right. Bellator 229, really quickly, we only have like 2 minutes left to talk. Larkin gets the win. You think he's next in line for the winner of Lima and Rory?
He might be up there. I think it depends if Lima wins. I think they could do a trilogy. But I think Larkin, that was a big one. I think this win was probably the number one contender fight. And I think Larkin looked good. I think he has that name, or you could mark it as a title fight. And people would be like, oh, Lorenzo Larkin, I know him, and they'd want to tune in.
Yeah, he looked really good. What about Tony Johnson knocking out Joe Schilling? That was impressive as hell.
Joe Schilling's just not good in MMA, just plain simple.
Yep. But Tony Johnson's pretty solid, man. Another guy Dana White said was too old and he cut him.
And why, if they're too old, why are they even on the contender series? But I've been on this rant a ton.
They want to pay these guys $5,000 to put on a show in the contender series, get some content for Fight Pass. Even though Dana White's going to deny this. This is the truth. So that happened there. You said you wanted to talk about that Bellator press conference today with Ryzen. You want to mention that quickly?
Yeah, they're basically – Ryzen's CEO basically said they're doing some historic press conference to announce a cross-promotion December 29th event in Japan. Fedor is expected to be on it. Don't know who he'll fight. Probably Rampage Jackson is going to be on it, but it should be interesting to see if it's a full Bellator card, if it's going to be like Bellator versus Ryzen, but yeah.
Good stuff. All right. And anything else quickly you want to mention?
Just the why is Tito Ortiz Alberto Del Real happy?
Oh, yeah.
And why is it $40? Who's going to pay
that? Yeah, I talked about that on the podcast today. I didn't talk about the price. I will not be paying the $40 for that. Although, you know what? There are fans of Tito Ortiz that will pay that money. There are fans of Alberto Del Real. I know Golden Boy's promotion didn't do like tons, but they did sell some shows. These guys are pretty popular down there in like Latin America locals. So, you know what? Maybe this fight does better than what we think, but you know, it's a fight people are going to laugh at, but you know what? They need to have big names in that promotion, and they have T. Ortiz and Alberto Del Rio. All right, plug your stuff, man. Let's get out of here. Go ahead.
Twitter, @ColeShow91. This week I talked to Michelle Watterson, Eric Anders, Max Griffin. Those will all be on BJPen. Fighter Picks on BJPen. Everything else is on my Twitter.
Awesome stuff, man. Appreciate you tuning in as always, or joining me as always, Cole. You guys can check me out on Twitter at MMAdamMartin right there at the bottom of the screen. So is Cole's. This podcast is available as always at MMAoddsbreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel, like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it. Check me out also at BJPen.com. Got tons of content up there right now at BJPen.com. Also check me out at MMArings.net. I wrote an article yesterday about why I think Adesanya should have fight John Jones. And then, of course, Cole comes out with the news that Costa's fighting Adesanya, and my article went to shit. And Michael Ford at MA Rings, my editor there, he did a great job with the picture and everything. And then it didn't matter because the fight's not going to happen. So that sucks. But I do appreciate him taking the time and doing that graphic. But yeah, Cole, great job with it, breaking that news. I think that's it for today, guys. Once again, thanks for tuning in. As always, appreciate you joining me as always, Cole, as well. I'll be back tomorrow to talk about whatever happens tonight in the world of MMA. Guys, have a good day. Thanks again for tuning in. See you later. Bye.